Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. Let's turn back to the U.S. and the partial government shutdown, which has now entered its fourth week. 8,000 federal employees in Massachusetts are furloughed or working without pay, and rank-and-file Democrats rejected an invitation for a White House lunch with the president today. Massachusetts Congresswoman Catherine Clark is vice chair of the House Democratic Caucus and plays a key role in negotiations to reopen the government going forward. We spoke with her as she was heading to the House floor. I started by asking her why Democrats turned down the president's offer to meet today.
Democrats are clear and unified in how this needs to be ended. We have to open up government. And I think that we have been clear. We have passed six Republican bills saying, let's open up government. Put a tight time restriction on Homeland Security so that we can negotiate border security, talk about immigration reform, but not at the expense of federal employees and our economy.
But isn't finding opportunities to negotiate, like a meeting with the president, a basic tenet of governing?
What we have here is a very unusual situation where we had agreement of both the House, the Senate, bipartisan agreement, and with the president to continue funding government and to have an ongoing discussion about border security. The president did an about-face on that back in December and caused this shutdown, which he proudly told us he wanted to do. We have been consistent. Let's open government. Let's open it for a short period of time to have these discussions with all the pressures of, a time-limited opening of government around Homeland Security so that we can have those negotiations. Our concern is if we don't have an open government as the first hurdle we need to get over, is that the next pet project, the next time conservative commentators come together and tell the president what they want him to do, we will be right back using this tool and the bludgeon on our federal employees for his next, policy that he wants. We want to get government open first, and we welcome a discussion around border security and immigration, but we have to have relief for those being impacted as the priority.
So what do Democrats want before face-to-face negotiations resume?
We want, have the government open. We've put forth six bills. We're going to be doing more this week, and we've been very clear. Let's have government open around Homeland Security for a short period of time so that we can come and negotiate. But what is unacceptable is that this president decided that he would put a campaign slogan ahead of the American people. And he proudly touted that this was his shutdown. And as this goes on into the 25th day, I can tell you the stories that I'm hearing from my district are heartbreaking. A woman in Natick who needs to have her income verified so she can keep her subsidized housing. A contractor in Cambridge who has a week and a half left of payroll before they are out of funding for those workers. These are the sort of real impacts that we're hearing from across my district and the Commonwealth and across the country.
So, the federal government expects to spend over $4 trillion this fiscal year. Compared to that, $5 billion is a tiny fraction, not even 1%. So why not give the president that money and bargain for a deal, say, on immigration to reopen the government and give relief to some of the constituents you were just talking about?
I think that is rewarding the president for holding the wall as a ransom payment. And our concern is if we were to do that and just say, fine, we are hearing so much pain and anguish from our constituents, we will just pay you off, that we will be back in this situation again with the next item on his agenda. This president has showed time and again that he lacks empathy. He lacks understanding of what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. And we have to be clear that this is unacceptable. We're the only country in the world that, you know, uses the shutdown in this way. And with this president, who seems to believe he is only the president for a few conservative commentators and not for all the American people, we think that that is, you know, rewarding very dangerous behavior. And what the president needs to realize is we will come and negotiate with him, but let's open government, keep the time pressure on all parties, and get back to work.
Congresswoman, what happens if you don't negotiate and the president uses emergency powers to build a wall anyway? At that point, will your resistance be all for naught, especially if you don't seize this time to bring other requests to the table, like immigration reform?
Well, I think that the president has, you know, expressed that he is considering using emergency powers. I think that is also a dangerous course to take. It would be, you know, a historical anomaly to have an executive use powers like that for, again, what was a campaign promise. And this wall has become a symbol. It is a symbol of the fear and division that the president was able to stoke during the campaign. And it is not part of a realistic, data-driven approach to keeping our borders secure. So, you know, I would have great concerns with going forward with that. Let's have those again. Let's get government open. Let's make sure we're working towards solutions for these families and easing this pain, and then we can have those kind of discussions.
President Trump says the shutdown is justified because there's a crisis on the southern border. Do you see a crisis? What do you think should be done?
I think that we have a humanitarian crisis on our border as we are seeing families coming. And much of what the president did with his separating families and taking children away from their parents has added to the anguish there. What we need to do is support smart, effective border security solutions. We need new technology to scan cars and trucks. We know that the overwhelming percentage of drugs that come through our borders come right through our ports of entry. Let's beef up our ability to detect and interdict those drugs. We need more personnel and better port of entry infrastructure to not only facilitate and help immigration and security, but to help with trade. It is the irony of this that while we are talking about border security, this shutdown of the president's is not paying our Border Patrol agents. It's not paying our TSA agents, the very people who we need and rely on to keep our borders secure. We are not going to be open to wasting billions of taxpayer dollars on an ineffective wall that can be tunneled under or climbed over or cut through. A wall that Mexico was always supposed to pay for, according to the president. But there are many things that we can do, incorporating new technology and some old technology, like making sure every Border Patrol agent has cell phone access, that we can use and put in place that can truly help protect our borders, ease some of the humanitarian crisis we're seeing at the border, and make sure that we are facilitating trade in our economy.
That's Representative Catherine Clark, Congresswoman for Massachusetts' 5th District and Vice Chair of the House Democratic Caucus. Congresswoman Clark, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thank you, Maria.
As the shutdown drags on, employees of the Federal Bureau of Prisons are among those deemed essential, meaning they're required to work without pay. One of the people who's still at it 5 days a week, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m., is David Martinez, a corrections officer at FMC Devens, a federal prison for men with medical and mental health needs in Harvard, Massachusetts. He's also the local chapter president of the American Federation of Government Employees, representing federal prison workers in New England. And David Martinez is on with us now. Hi, David. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hello.
Hi. So you work as a correctional guard in a federal prison at FMC Devens, and you're considered an essential employee, so you're still going to work. What has it been like to be going in without pay for essentially the last month?
It's a stressful environment to begin with, and this has just added a whole level of anxiety and stress to everyone who works with me.
Well, we know many Americans live paycheck to paycheck, many times without savings, and a lapse in pay can be truly catastrophic for their homes. Is that the case for you? Can it turn into the case for you?
Being shortchanged on the check that just passed by has been difficult. It's definitely had an impact, and at the moment, there's no light in sight in terms of getting paid, so it's having an impact.
Can you give me a sense of some of the kinds of choices or perhaps sacrifices you and your family have had to make or are thinking of making to make ends meet while you wait to get paid?
Yes. So the obvious choices are you always pay the most important bills. The first and foremost is paying for your family, and this time of year, heat is a priority. Some of the kind of bills that you seek out your creditors to see if you can push them back or work with them is credit, to include your mortgage. Other kind of sacrifices, in the grand scheme of things, little things get pushed to the side, like obviously the family can't eat out if that was something that we did often, or other buying choices, like if we wanted to buy some new clothes or something for the kids, that right now would be pushed off.
Your father, how have you talked to your kids about the financial strain and changes your family is facing and could be facing for more time?
Well, so I do try to instill in them the wisdom of being prudent with everything in the home, the electricity, water, and the food. And so I talk to them about the shutdown and that for the time being, money would be tight. And that, you know, they've worked with me on that. They're teenagers now, so they're a little wiser.
Hearing Congresswoman Catherine Clark just now, it sounds like the Democrats aren't going to budge over the issue of the wall. President Trump has said he's not going to budge either. What do you make of that?
That's difficult to hear. One of the things is I have members who reside in the Congresswoman Clark's district. I have members who reside in four states in New England, and obviously a number of legislators are involved in those districts. And it's important that they get together, that the government's leadership gets together and resolves this budget impasse. It's important that they start to pay my coworkers and I for the work that we are performing, and we find it also important that they put to work the other agencies. Those employees have important jobs and representing their agencies, and it's important that they also get to work. So I expect Congress and the president to fashion some form of compromise to open the government fully and to do everything that's required to secure the country's borders.
How are you feeling about the country's leadership right now? Do you feel like
in
you've
general,
lost faith?
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that they can't come to a compromise. This country was based on compromise, and all they have to do is talk, and I'm sure that they could come up with something that would work.
I also want to talk to you about your specific job. You know, at airports around the country, there's been a shortage of TSA agents because twice as many as usual have called out sick while they're not getting paid. You have a particularly, some would say, risky job and an essential one. Have you all experienced a lot of people calling out sick at FMC Devens?
It's definitely, I would say it's just a little higher. The thing about that we can't identify is this time of year a lot of people come down with colds and flus, but we haven't had the kind of issues that TSA has. We have not.
So you also had the local union representing your coworkers. What are some of the individual stories that stand out for you when you think about those at risk?
You mean a reference to the job, or you mean a reference to the shutdown?
To the shutdown. I mean, how are people around you, how are your peers dealing with this?
Well, it's difficult. It has definitely affected morale. Working in prisons is very difficult to begin with. It's a stressful environment. This has only added to that. You also have to realize that when you come into a job like that where you want to be focused, but you come from home and you have all this anxiety of maybe you're short on gas today, maybe you're short on meal money, maybe some last minute expense propped up, like your car is not working as well. All these things are bringing stress into the environment that is already can be a pressure cooker. So it's not a good situation overall, which is why we have done everything we can to reach out to the media, to get our story out, to get Congress and the president to understand the mission that we perform.
David, what will happen to your coworkers and to the inmates at FMC Devens if your coworkers say, you know, enough with this, I'm not getting paid, I'm not coming into work?
In general, we look out for each other because it's such a dangerous environment. So we're going to have more resolve maybe than other workforces. But long term, of course, if people have to make those tough decisions, it's going to impact the public safety. I mean, we watch 1,000 inmates or more, and those inmates, they need our supervision, obviously. And it's our job to keep them safe and keep the public safe from them. And that's what we've done every day of the year, even though we're not getting paid now.
Do you have a long-term plan if this shutdown continues for months or, say, even years, as President Trump has suggested he might let happen? Or do you have a certain due date when, say, you'll decide to leave your job at FMC Devens and look for something new?
So I have essentially worked for the government my entire life, first as a soldier in the Army, and now I have 20 years in the Bureau of Prisons. It would be difficult for me to leave ahead of the time that in my mind I had, you know, for retirement. But of course, there's going to have to be a day where I bring income into my home. And, you know, down the road, I mean, if this went on 5-6 months, I would definitely be having to look at that, because at that point, I would probably be past my breaking point, truthfully. Probably 2 months would probably be a breaking point.
Wow, 2 months. All right. Well, that's David Martinez, a corrections officer at FMC Devens, a federal prison in Harvard, Massachusetts, and the local chapter president of the American Federation of Government Employees, representing federal prison workers in New England. David, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Maria Garcia, and this is Radio Boston.